Breakfast Show. Live from Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee, I'm on Graceland. Smile 90.4 FM.
Yesterday we got a tour of Sam Phillips Studio. Now, Sam Phillips is one of the founders of Sun Studios. He was the man responsible basically, he was the founder of Elvis. He found rock and roll music. The tour of his studios that have been around now for 60 years, Sam Phillips Studios. Not many people get to see the studios if you're not an artist, because it's a full working studio. They don't offer tours of the studio, so you can't just rock up, knock on the door and go, hey, I'd like to see a bit of history. I'd like to see where Elvis recorded. I'd like to see where Johnny Cash spent some time, Jerry Lee Lewis. This is what I want to see. You can't. You can phone and you can try. They don't. And they don't not do it because they don't want to. It's a working studio, so artists still recording there on a daily basis, and it's not designed to take tour groups. It's designed to record rock and roll music and music. Yeah. So we really had to pull huge strings to get to see the studio. It's currently run by Scott Borum, who is the lead singer of the Bo Keys, a very well-known Memphis group. He's one of the co-owners now of the Sam Phillips Studio with the Phillips family. And we were initially hoping, obviously, to chat to Scott, who runs the studio and knows an awful lot about the history of the studio. Yes. And so through Memphis tourism and various strings we had to pull, we got to go to the studio. But what we weren't expecting to see, or the person we weren't expecting to see, was Sam Phillips' son, Jerry Phillips, the son of the founder of rock and roll. So you can just imagine when we open, and he just, to say he looks rock and roll, you're going to have to look at the pictures. Sam looks like a rock and roll. He just looks rock and roll. He looks like he could be the son of Johnny Cash, or, you know, he's in his cowboy boots. We're in what has to be said, our standard attire, which is shorts, t-shirts, and pluckies. Now, here's the thing. If you look at the picture, is that picture online, Rick?
Almost.
We're going to put that picture online. Now, you'll notice something about the studio. It's 60 years old, and they don't get many people in there to clean the studio, right? So success and my feet have been attacked by fleas, and we don't want to say
it is,
but we've got a good feeling. It's from bugs that bugged Elvis 60 years ago. It's the great fleas of the fleas that were around when Elvis was there. There were these great fleas, and they were like, hey, man, let's eat this ankle like my pappy did, like my pappy's pappy did, like my pappy did to Elvis. One for the money, two for the toes. So Success and I got in yesterday, and I'm like, guys, anybody else been bitten alive? And then Success is like, yeah, me too. And then we realized in the picture, Success and I are the only ones with pluckies on in the studio. But let me tell you, was it worth it? Oh boy. To be surrounded by rock royalty. It happens very rarely in one's life where you get an opportunity to sit with somebody who grew up literally with Elvis Presley as a friend. Johnny Cash as a friend. And his dad had them over at his house every single day. We caught up with Jerry Phillips, the son of the founder of rock and roll, in his studio yesterday. This is what he had to say.
We weren't too close to him, like, right before he died, too much, you know, but he was at our house all the time, bringing the best-looking ladies you've ever seen. And he started showing movies at the Memphian Theater. He'd rent this theater. I could walk up, when I got a little older, I could walk up to any girl anywhere and say, hey, would you like to go watch movies with me and Elvis all night long tonight?
She'll be like,
what do you think the answer's going to be?
Yeah, let's go now.
That's where we're going to have a baby the next morning. Or something like that. They were going.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was crazy.
Your family home was like the place where everyone would come through, like you mentioned now. What did they feel like growing up? Did you have any idea of the magnitude?
My parents were super cool. When Elvis would come over at night, we were still young in school, and they would wake us up and say, hey, Elvis, I want to miss school tomorrow. And, you know, that's like saying you want to go to Memphis. Well, hell yeah, we do. And my mother would fix breakfast about 5 o'clock in the morning for like 18 people. Send them, you know, they'd go home because Elvis had to get in before it got daylight, or he'd be like,
"Yeah, take your time." Couldn't move.
This was after he left son, and it's like probably 57, 58, and that area there. I mean, he was so damn popular. It was unbelievable.
You're a part of royalty. I mean, it is. It's musical royalty, and that'll never change. I mean, that's in the history books. And hearing stories about your dad, without you, who he was and how he approached these artists, we might never have had that history that he had and that kind of relationship that he had with the artists. They felt like he was a brother. I mean, it wasn't a business deal. He was a member of the family.
That's true. I mean, he told them all, don't sing for me. You sing like you're on your front porch or whatever. I don't want to hear anything that sounds like anybody else. If you'll notice, none of his artists sounded like any one of them. You know, Elvis didn't sound like Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash didn't sound like Jerry Lee Lewis. Jerry Lewis didn't sound like Carl Perkins. You know, Charlie Rich didn't sound like any of them. And, you know, so it was just a total independent spirit of stuff that's never been done before. And so that was his whole thing, man. I don't want to hear anything that's already been done. He just didn't want to hear it, you know? Because he could have, when he started out, what was happening when he started Sons with Memphis Recording Service. I mean, it was Dean Martin, you know, and all those guys. He could have been like any other guy and said, I'm going to find me a Dean Martin sounding guy.
Yeah.
You know, and make me some Dean Martin sounding records, and I know I can get a deal and all that shit. He was not interested in that at all, period. Zero, nothing. Well, the first time I ever smelled marijuana was on the Woolly Bully session of Sam the Sham. I don't know if y'all ever heard that song or not, but it was 1966. And there used to be an automobile repair shop next door. And I thought, man, somebody's burning some tires over there. It was really weird smell. But that's the first time I'd ever smelled marijuana. And then, of course, the Jerry Lee Lewis has been in here on pills and everything else, you know. I mean, anything you name has happened here, you know, in one time or the other.
Motorcycle in here.
Oh, yeah.
No, I wasn't here.
We were cutting a song called Tiny Heinies and Hogs. You know, they call a Harley a hog, you know. And put the motorcycle in there and got it idling, and then the drummer got on the beat with the and they came up with the whole song called Tiny Honey. And before the thing was over, we were almost all dead from the carbon dioxide in there, you know.
Is that when Jerry McGill shot the hole?
Mm-hmm. He shot three holes in the ceiling. You can see him out there with his pistol.
No.
At the end of the song, he went, bang, bang, bang. My brother was hip enough. He was engineered to put some echo on it.
The Ryan O'Connor Breakfast Show.
Live from Memphis, Tennessee. In the USA.
This is America.
On Smile 90.4 FM.